You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Friday, January 12th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm going to take a deep dive into corruption, into the corruption and bias that's so prevalent right now, as reflected in, of course, the special counsel that is acting as a tool, a weaponized tool against the Trump presidency, Donald Trump presidency, and against Donald Trump, and thusly against the people of the United States, who are sick and tired of politics as usual. And it's a war against us, against the people who put him there. Now, you may not agree 100% with his style. You may not agree 100% with some of the things he's doing. But I got to tell you, overall, he's not your average politician. He speaks what's on his mind. We saw that yesterday, of course, with respect to him referencing an area of the world as a, you know, crap hole, basically, using the other word, of course. And of course, people have just the liberal media, the progressive media, just came unglued. And of course, that's the shiny object hanging above the crib, stuff like that, that the liberal progressive media, I won't even say liberal, so the progressive globalist media, what they want you to focus on in order to take away your attention from the real criminality, the real bias, the real attacks, the real war against the American people. And that's what this program is all about. You know, and again, I look at this as a crime scene or multiple crime scenes. I guess that's because that's what I'm used to. And if you look at what has happened over the last couple of years, if you look at really from 2000 and, you know what? Let's look at this decade or this century forward. You can see criminality extending on both sides of the aisle if you want to talk Republican and Democrat. But really, it's progressives versus conservatives, and it's really good versus evil at its core, and that's what we're looking at. But at its broadest sense, that's what we're looking at. But to be very specific, you've got right now this special counsel operating as a weapon against Donald Trump. It's been weaponized, and it is filled with progressives, with actually Hillary supporters, and you've got to ask yourself why. Or the question has to be raised, why, out of all of the individuals capable, qualified to investigate, even if let's just assume for a moment that allegations of Russian interference or collusion on the part of Donald Trump, which is not true in my view, let's just say that's true for a second. Let's just say that there is sufficient evidence to form a special counsel and to investigate Donald Trump. Let's just say for a moment, okay, let's say that's true. Why? Why wouldn't you seek the most professional, competent, and unbiased individuals to conduct the investigation? Instead, what are we seeing? We are seeing Mueller, who had loaded up and has loaded up his team. In fact, just recently put on a cyber security specialist. But you're seeing Mueller, who's loaded up his team with more than half of the people who have supported progressive causes, openly supported progressive causes, openly supported Hillary Clinton, openly supported the DNC, paid money, donations to the DNC and to the Clinton campaign. So if Robert Mueller is so unbiased, so stellar, so shiny, so great, why would he sully his otherwise stellar reputation by really loading up this team with lawyers who are biased and who are not just biased, but viciously, viscerally biased? That's a good question to ask and have answered. And as we look at this, I can guarantee you one thing. What is about to be disclosed, what will be disclosed in the coming days and weeks, I don't think it'll be months, it'll be days and weeks, about the counsel, the special counsel, but about the FISA process. I talked about that yesterday. Remember that program yesterday. What's about to be disclosed about this FISA process, it will be undeniable that this is the most egregious criminal activity by the people in power that this country has ever seen. The unconstitutionality, the violation of Donald Trump's rights, the violation of our rights will be exposed for everyone to see. That's number one. The unconstitutionality, again, I'm going to repeat this. The biggest scandal, the biggest crime, the biggest headline to be revealed, the series of headlines is coming in the coming days and weeks. This will be so undeniable that really no media outlet will be able to deny the facts. Now, they can bury the facts. They cannot address the facts. They can censor it by not talking about it. And that's been their tactic so far. Or perhaps they will say, well, you know, for example, they use websites such as and like Snopes to debunk, this story's been debunked. Really? Or it's partially true, a mixture of truth. Well, let me tell you what we're seeing right now take place in my belief with respect to the way the media is handling these discoveries. And I'll just give you the phrase, active measures. The media and the progressives in this country, you want to talk about Russian tactics, more specifically, communist tactics. But I don't want to say specific, but it's closely related to Russia. Active measures. It's a tactic. Let me explain what this is, because I think this is extremely important, and it shows you where the communist ideology exists and how it's being used against all of us. The talk, of course, the questions that surround Russia's role in the 2016 presidential elections. Think about this, the KGB strategy of active measures. We need to look closer at this and who is employing them. Not Russia, certainly not Donald Trump or anyone around him. No. No. Listen, active measures were and continue to be a subversive technique or a series of subversive techniques and policies aimed at influencing people and events in foreign countries to suit Russia's objectives. By definition, that's what active measures are. But when you tailor such active measures to apply it to domestic situations, this technique is exactly what we've seen and we are seeing unfold, that the progressives and the collusion within the media are employing active measures. Please write that phrase down, research that phrase, understand what that means, active measures. And one more time, this is a series of subversive techniques and policies aimed at influencing people and events. Now, you can put a period there, but the actual definition from Russia's standpoint would be influencing people and events in foreign countries to suit Russia's objectives. But consider suiting the objective of the globalists and ideologues here in the United States, the progressive, the globalist ideologues. Now, we saw this in the claims of internet-driven hacking and misinformation campaigns by various news organizations, various people within and on the outside of the media and within the globalist camp, especially the progressives. Now, when you're describing active measures, this was first really described by former KGB General Oleg Kalugin back in 1987. And the purpose of active measures, according to this general, this KGB general, and remember, this is during the Cold War, was to drive wedges in Western community alliances of all sorts, and especially NATO. Now, this I'm talking on a global scale now, to sow discord among allies, to weaken the United States in the eyes of people in Europe, Asia, Africa, and other countries, and thus prepare ground in case some war really occurs. And ultimately, this would be to make the United States more vulnerable to the anger and distrust of other people. What are we seeing today? What are we seeing the press do to Donald Trump? Distrust? Anger? They, the media, the progressives, are employing active measures and the communist tactic of active measures, are we not? And you can go back and you can listen to and former NSA analyst, security expert John Schindler. He states that these measures are still in use today by Russia. And you have to remember, well, who's the head of Russia? A former KGB officer, Vladimir Putin, right? The practice of disinformation is a key example of such measures. Now, it could involve stories planted in foreign outlets, especially in essentially fake news that would present, this alluring amalgamation of fact and fantasy, and much of it unverifiable, which is designed to confuse readers and shift political discussions. What comes to your mind right now in the context of what we're seeing by the special counsel and by the progressives? I'll give you a second while I go over that one more time. John Schindler, former NSA analyst and security expert, in an interview, numerous months ago, maybe over a year ago perhaps, said that the active measures are still in use today by Russia. And it's a country led, of course, by who? By KGB officer Vladimir Putin. In the practice, and this is, now listen close, the practice of disinformation is a key example of such measures. It could involve stories planted in foreign outlets, essentially fake news, that would present in this alluring amalgamation of fact and fantasy, much of it unverifiable, designed to confuse readers and shift political discussions. All right. Now let's remove a few words, because what this analyst was saying, Schindler, was looking at active measures being used by Russia on a global scale. Now let's switch this. Instead of global, let's look at it domestically. We're just going to omit a few words here. The practice of disinformation is a key example of such measures. It could involve stories planted in the news with news outlets. What it really is fake news that would present this alluring amalgamation of fact and fantasy, much of it unverifiable, designed to confuse readers and shift political discussions. All I did was remove the word really foreign. This is what's happening today. This is the tactic that is being used and has been used by the media and by the progressives. This is a tactic. It's a communist tactic. Specifically, it's a communist Russia tactic, but it's a communist tactic, period. A communist tactic that was developed and refined in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, and subsequent in Russia under the tutelage of Vladimir Putin. So you see what I'm talking about here. Consider that the provocations that such fake news would cause, and we're watching it today. We're watching it with respect to To what? To the dossier. To the allegations of collusion. Now. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to finish the active measures because Alinsky tactics, another radical revolutionary god figure of the communist globalist progressive left, also comes into play here. Now we're dealing with people tactics and, of course, but the methods here under which we are suffering. And people need to know exactly what's taking place. There are some other tactics, by the way, of active measures that are part of what Schindler considers. Now, this, of course, this deals with Russia espionage worldview, including provocations, which also work to murky the waters and disorient the enemy to such an extent that they would be defeated before even knowing what happened. Provocations could include planting agitators or even flipping activists to serve your ends. Conspiracy, of course, involves recruiting agents and running covert operations. It's another tactic. Kompromat. It entails using compromising materials. Boy, that's a big time thing that it's really a staple. It's kind of a part of the architecture of the KGB. It's used to recruit new spies or agents, and essentially by blackmailing. Now, I'm just going to kind of skip because although this is important, and you can do your own research on active measures, but I do believe wholeheartedly that we're seeing that we are witnessing the dissection of the communist techniques and methods that are being used by the progressives in this country, and especially the media as well, known as active measures. And now, there's been a lot written about active measures, the method, what it involves and such. But there are five, most people will agree that there are five ways in which Russian active measures are designed to topple democracy, for example, or in our case, a constitutional republic. There are five different ways. Now, this is on a global scale. Number one, undermine citizen confidence in democratic governance. All right, let's switch this to undermine citizen confidence in U.S. governance. Where do we see that taking place? The news constantly pushing this fake Russian narrative. It's undermining citizen confidence. The progressives pushing, in addition to the dossier, the alleged Russian collusion, which has essentially been disproven, now talking about, well, Donald Trump's not fit to run for office. The 25th Amendment, he's senile. He's suffering from early onset dementia. You can see this. You can hear this. Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski, and she should know in terms of the tactics. This is going full force against our system of governance right now, and especially those people who are using this to assail Donald Trump and essentially assail the American people. How about this? The second part of the second method in which Russian active measures are designed to topple democracy in the larger sense, global sense, but now you take it to our situation. Number two would be to foment and exacerbate divisive political fractures. Where is this country divided? We're divided along racial lines. Remember, everything to the progressives is racist. So what are they doing? They're dividing us along racial lines. They're dividing us along economic lines. Remember the tax bill. This is only going to help the rich. The facts be damned. This is only going to help the rich. And it's Donald Trump and the conservatives who are doing this. To erode trust, number three, to erode trust between citizens and elected officials and democratic institutions. Mission accomplished. Active measures, perhaps as the larger method, and a subset of that using plants, using people who are committed to the communist ideology. What are we seeing? Do we have confidence in the FBI? Do we have confidence in the Department of Justice? Do we have confidence in the rule of law as it applies to the ordinary citizen? Or applies to, or doesn't apply to Hillary and Bill Clinton? What's going on? The trust has been eroded. And the larger aspect of this, further erode the trust by putting up a special counsel. And every day, hammer home, hammer home, hammer home. Trump, Russia, collusion. Meanwhile, the Alinsky tactics are also in play. I'll get to that in a moment. But there it is. Number four. Popularize Russian policy agendas within foreign populations. Now, this had a specific... Historically, there was a very specific meaning for this. We're not in the Cold War anymore. Excuse me, we're not in the post-World War II time. So put that aside for a moment. Oh, and don't try to flip that by saying, you know, well, look at RT in the United States, because that's not what this is about. So just remember that. Now, number five, create general distrust or confusion over information sources by blurring the lines between fact and fiction. And here it is. I'm going to read that one more time. Create general distrust or confusion over information sources by blurring the lines between fact and fiction. Have you noticed? The mainstream corporate, captured corporate mass media is peddling. It's the Russian collusion. It's Russian collusion between Donald Trump. Look, the indictments, it's all about the Russian collusion. The indictments so far have nothing to do whatsoever of Russian collusion. So let's create general disgust or distrust, as well as disgust, in my opinion, or confusion over information sources by blurring the lines between fact and fiction. And this is also very specific to what that dossier has done. Create general distrust or confusion over information sources. Hint: Steele dossier. Hint: Christopher or the PP dossier. Hint: Christopher Steele. And the lines between fact and fiction are being blurred by who? By the media, by the mainstream media, including but not limited to CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post. You've got the and even worse, of course, people on our own side. That's more egregious in my view. You know, when you watch MSNBC, you know what position they're coming from. But when you've got a conservative Christian over here, you know, stating that, siding with the enemy or engaged in active measures, to me, that's even more dangerous. They're already on the inside. And, oh man, I'll tell you something. We are infested by those kind of people, conservatives and conservative Christians, or those people who claim to be. So that's why that's very dangerous. So those are the five ways in which Russian active measures are designed to topple us from within. What are we seeing? Really, four of the five. Again, the fourth being designed for export by Russia and really not applicable in this case. Oh, perhaps it could be with respect to the collusion. That's exporting Russia propaganda. And I don't know of anyone really who would fall for that at this point in time in this country, except, again, that one would might say, well, you know what? Look at the conservatives. They popularize and idolize RT, or they're on RT. Well, you know, no. That's not what that means. So, again, that aside, you get the picture. And I think it's a very clear picture. The intent, of course, is to cause unprecedented chaos within the United States and to worsen its position worldwide. Now think about the objectives and the ideology of the globalists. What do the globalists want in terms of the United States? They want to really take away any American exceptionalism and make us at really on par with other countries and say we're no better than those other countries. When is that? When that's not true. But that's the agenda of the globalists. So this is extremely dangerous. And we had 8 years of dangerous. We had 8 years of this. There is no American exceptionalism. America is no better than any other country. And we have 8 years of America is not a Christian nation. Christianity is second or third or fourth to, or is no better than, I should say, Islam or Buddhism. You've heard that come out of the mouth of the chief globalist and Muslim Marxist out of the Oval Office. Do you see the technique here? And we are looking at now this unprecedented chaos within the United States. We've already seen and are seeing the worsening position of the United States on the world stage. Look what Obama did with Iran. Look at Obama and North Korea. Look at how basically he not just kicked the can down the road, but sold us out to Iran. And don't forget, Bill Clinton did that in the 90s with China, Laurel. So when you look at this in total, what are you seeing? You're seeing the globalists adhering and advancing the active measures, this communist technique. And I gave you the goals, and I gave you basically the methods. And again, the goals include causing unprecedented chaos within the United States. And of course, that chaos would include most people losing faith, losing trust in government agencies. And you ask perhaps why. Let's look on the larger scale. Why? Why would anyone vote for FISA? Or, I'm sorry, not FISA, the NDAA, when it's clear that the intelligence community weaponized the means of surveillance on political opponents and the American people. Clear. So, who is pushing the surveillance state? In large part, it's the globalists. And of course, you saw Obama just rubber stamp everything with respect to the surveillance state. So anyway, this is the bigger picture, and I hope, and I think the corruption and bias inside Mueller's team is reflective of active measure. And the people who are involved in this, reflective of the process, the evolving process of the tactic of active measures. And active measures being a communist plot or plan or method to bring down our country. and to subjugate our American exceptionalism, or to wipe out our American exceptionalism and subjugate our nation to a globalist worldview, and to be sucked into this globalist agenda. And see, when Hillary Clinton was expected to win, she was going to just push everything forward, accelerate us into this globalist one world. That's it. No borders. It's all, we're no better than anyone else. It's just a big, one big world, and America is no better, no worse than any other country. That's what she wanted to do. That's what she, that was her plan. And even as Secretary of State, she did that. She was doing that while Obama was doing it on a on an executive level. Clinton was doing it on a Department of State level. And this does explain, if you go back a little ways, during Obama's tenure, his occupancy of the Oval Office and Clinton's time as Secretary of State. What do we see under her time as Secretary of State? My goodness, we saw this massive reshifting of power in the Middle East that was known as Arab Spring. It was not spontaneous. It wasn't organized. It was not organic. It was not from the ground up, but it was planned. It was plotted. It was planned by Western intelligence who were adhering to the globalist ideology, the progressive ideology. But it was part of this globalist agenda. And the merging of both Marxism or communism and Islam. And we had that perfect relationship between Obama and Brennan, Obama and other, you know, the French and the UK intelligence agencies. And look how fast, Islam has grown and affected the internal workings of our government during the 8 years of Obama. And look how fast communism has done the same thing. The ideologues and ideology of communism within our government. It's disguised, of course, as a globalist agenda. It's disguised as a global worldview. It's disguised by many other in many other ways and fashions. But the bottom line is communism. You cannot make this stuff up. And I had promised to mention about Alinsky tactics. Saul Alinsky, of course, the revolutionary, back in the popular back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I laugh in the face of people who say that that's so yesterday. It's got no relevance to today. It's their playbook. What is wrong with you? Not you, listeners, but the people who would say that. What's wrong with you? You think just because it's 40-some, 50 years old that how limited, how short-sighted must your vision be? But see, it's the Alinsky playbook. And of course, rule number four is in play where and I'm not going to read all the rules, but look, this is where they make you play by your own rules. And of course, Alinsky tactics and methodology to do engage in a behavior yourself and then project that, accuse others, your opponent, of engaging in that very same behavior, which is exactly what we're seeing here with respect to Russian collusion. And back to Russian collusion again. And why is it so important that this not be discussed? Or this be discussed only in the manner between Donald Trump and Russia, or the Donald Trump team and Russia? Because it needs to be the cover, the foil for the DNC, the progressives, the communists within our own government. That's the problem. And of course, the media is covering. I mean, you talk about a completely captured mass media. You cannot get any more than it is today. You've got CIA infiltration into the media. You've got, again, the intelligence infiltration into the print media. And we saw that during the 70s, of course. Especially during the 70s. And we saw that revealed during the 70s. And, of course, you've got the propaganda as well. And then concurrent with that, recently, yesterday or this week, it just came out where social networking like Twitter, they are shadow banning the conservative message. They are shadow banning anything good to say about guns. They're shadow banning anything other than their own communist agenda, their progressive agenda. And at this point, when you look at the right-left communist progressive, conservative political spectrum, the progressives are so far to the left that it's undeniably communism. And it's undeniably fascism. Oh, but wait, fascism is too far to the right. No, no, no. Read Dinesh D'Souza's book. Fascism is a product of the left. It's a technique, and it's all about the left. So what we're seeing today, through the Mueller, through the corruption, through the bias inside Mueller's team, what we're seeing is the exposure now to this bias. We're seeing the exposure, because of Donald Trump, to the techniques and the methods and sources and actors and conspiracies and collusions of the progressives that have been active and actively employed here in this country for the last decade. And I would include George W. Bush in this as well as the entire Bush dynasty and Clinton dynasty. They're working together. So you have an outsider like Donald Trump come in and bang. Van Jones said it was a white lash. No, Van Jones, it wasn't a white lash. I agree, it was an abrupt change from business as usual, because Americans were tired as business as usual, being lied to at every turn, and of course being regulated, taxed, and abused by your communist-style agents in government. Now we've got a plain-spoken, normal, non-politician out there who calls, why are we taking people from these crap holes? And of course, what does the media do? They focus on the offensive. Oh, my goodness, you can't say that. Well, wait a minute. And I'm just going to divert briefly to address this, because it needs to be addressed. Immigration is not a refugee policy. For crying out loud, what is immigration? It doesn't mean that we open our doors and take in people from every country who wants to come here as a matter of rescue. That's not what immigration is. We've been brainwashed, or I shouldn't say we, the people have been brainwashed to believe immigration is something that it's not. Which ties closely into the border wall, or even more specifically and more accurately, border security. But immigration, the rules behind immigration, changed under Johnson. Maybe I should talk about that, because, again, all of this connects. We can talk about the criminality. The criminality is not going to go anywhere. Yeah, but then the headlines are so dire and so fleeting that sometimes people misunderstand or don't really know or don't really understand how history has affected where we are today. So with your permission, let me divert just a tad here and talk about immigration. You know, when we're discussing, of course, when you have progressive friends just railing against Donald Trump about his classifying or describing the third world hellholes as just that, and how they say, oh, what a terrible thing to say, and racist and you know, xenophobe and any phobe, I don't know. Now you can approach and address those people, the critics, and perhaps your critics, with some information and necessary background. Because it was the Immigration and Naturalization Act federal immigration law. It was known as the Hart-Celler Act of the Immigration and Natural Act of 1965, also known as the Hart-Celler Act. It eliminated the national origins quota system, which had set limits on the numbers of individuals from any given nation who could immigrate to the United States. Now, this act was signed into law by Lyndon Baines Johnson on October 3, 1965. It took effect on June 30, 1968. Now, let's take a look at the backgrounds, the origins, the history, the provisions. Let's look at this in the larger sense, because this, again, remember, we're talking now about the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1965, because if you want to know why we're at where we're at today, you've got to understand where we were at before and what happened to get us here. Okay. Now, you got to go back to the United States Department of State. The Immigration Act of 1924, right? This is the beginning, the first quarter of the 20th century. It limited the number of immigrants allowed entry into the United States through a national origins quota. So we had a quota. The act provided for the granting of immigration visas to 2% of the total number of people of each nationality in the United States, calculated as of the 1890 census. Now, I'm talking about here the Immigration Act of 1924, which, of course, preceded the one from 1965. As a matter of fact, the Immigration Act of 1924 banned Asians under the system. Quotas were not applied to immigrants from the Western Hemisphere. Let that sink in for a moment. If you're from the Western Hemisphere, you can come over to the United States. That, just so, if you want to impress your friends, the Immigration Act of 1924 was also known as the Johnson-Reed Act, not related to Lyndon, okay? Now, or unrelated to the subsequent law. All right. Then you had, preceding the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, then you had the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952. So you had 1924. Now, in 1952, that act was known as the McCarran-Walter Act. It modified the natural origins quota system, which the 1924 Act introduced. It rescinded the earlier law's prohibition on Asian immigration. So, okay, come on, open the door to Asia. Under the 1952 law, national origin quotas were set at 0.6% of each nationality's population, the United States, as of the 1920 census. All right, so at the time of enactment, the law provided for the issuance of about 154,000 change visas. Immigrants from the Western Hemisphere continued to be excluded from the quota system, as were the non-citizens or non-citizen husbands of American citizens. Now, all right. See, what they were doing, what has happened since 1924 and then 1952, what you're seeing is this molding of our population. Well, we can't ban people from crap hole countries, right? And the 1965 Act rectified all of that. Instead of, like Donald Trump said, you know, why are we taking the world's worst? Why do we have to take them? The immigration is not a form of refugee status. Now, don't call me racist. I'm just giving you history here and explaining this. So, it was in 1965, the United States House of Representatives approved the Immigration and Nationality Act by a vote of 318-95. It was August 25th, 1965. Now, the Senate approved an amended version of the bill by a vote of 76-18. in September of 65. The House voted to adopt the Senate's version by a vote of 320-70 on September 30th, 1965, and Johnson signed the Immigration and Nationality Act into law on October 3rd, 1965. There you've got the legislative history of the Hart-Celler Act. The Immigration and Nationality Act of Naturalization Act, I'm sorry, of 1965, it eliminated the national origins quota systems. Period. Done. Over. In lieu of national origin quotas, the Immigration and Naturalization Act of 1965 established consistent per-century ceilings. That is, no country was subject to a higher or lower limit than any other country. It leveled the playing field. And the law mandated that no person shall receive any preference or priority or be discriminated against in the issuance of an immigration visa because of his race, sex, nationality, place of birth, or place of residence. Okay. So what did that do to the population makeup of the United States? And you can read all about the Hart-Celler Act and the impact it had to permanent residents in the United States and let me just without getting into a whole lot of scholarly kind of information, let me just tell you what that act in 1965 did to the United States. Go to New York City. Go to San Francisco or Los Angeles. I can stop right there. If you've been there or if you've done that, I can stop right there. I don't even need to explain. Go to Minneapolis. You see, at one time, the United States was conscious and very selective about who we let in to our country. Okay? Before 1965, our immigration system emphasized cultural assimilation. Period. In other words, you come to this country, as my forefathers did, and you work alongside, you assimilate into society, you contribute to America, you don't set up your own little camp, and on the neighborhood level, I remember these days where you had pockets of Polish immigrants, German immigrants, Italian immigrants, you know, little sections of our city, and I'm sure yours too, Little Italy, okay, and so on. Yeah, that happened. But the bottom line was everyone, there was cultural assimilation. We were like one another. And you might think, wow, being homogenous, that's racist. No, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with assimilation, cultural assimilation. And I should note, too, it was 1921. If you want history, and it's important we know history. Calvin Coolidge, he signed into law the Quota Acts. The Quota Acts, 1921. It was a choice of the American public to halt this great wave of Eastern and Southern European immigration, which averaged at that time a pretty big number, well over 500,000 annually, about 600,000 annually. The move limited a nationality's allotment of immigration visas according to that nation or nationality's proportion of American population at the turn of the century. In other words, two-thirds of a new 160,000 visa cap would go annually to Britain, to Ireland, and to Germany, the first immigration wave nations, all right? There was a concern that immigration should mirror the makeup of the country of destination. And the system was designed to emphasize sought-after skills, you know, like skills and such. This was not a refugee program. And why am I... So stop for a minute. Why am I bringing this up if we're talking about the criminality of the globalists? I started out, and did you drift so far that you're talking about this? You can't form a cohesive thought? No, this is all part of it. This is all part of the globalist agenda. It's all interrelated. That's the beauty of this. Once you know, once you have the Rosetta Stone, once you understand the playbooks, once you understand who the actors are and the methods of destruction of our nation and the tactics that they use, then you're able to see through the charade that we're seeing today. You're able to identify the tactics of the Mueller probe, as you are able to identify the tactics of the media, as you're able to identify the tactics of the globalists at large. And there it is. And there it is. And that, by understanding that, you can see the knee-jerk reaction by the liberal, progressive, communist media and the people saying, my God, Donald Trump said, President Donald Trump said, what? He called it an S-hole, a crap hole? Who talks like that? Well, for starters, Johnson did, Johnson kid did, and Nixon did, just not in public. But that doesn't make it right, does it? But you don't have to be eloquent to be correct, do you? You don't have to be. Cultural assimilation is not equivalent to racism. So don't accuse me of being racist or accuse others of being racist. This speaks directly to nationalism, I suppose, could be defined in such a way, or as it's being applied by Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, as American exceptionalism. And it's about time we recognize that and stop apologizing for being American. Stop apologizing for being white. Stop apologizing for being westernized. Stop apologizing for your successes. And that's what Donald Trump is saying. This is not about being, again, it's not about being racist. It's not about being any of that. This is about survival, the survival of a nation. And what's hanging in the balance today? Hanging in the balance, frankly, is America's survival. Because what we've seen, and what this DACA stuff is about, the chain migration, what, just so you and I have this understanding and are able to explain it to others when they yelp and they say, whoa, man, Donald Trump really said some beer, you know. Look, the border wall, the amnesty for illegal aliens, it's all connected to what we need to do is to go back to the accepting those who will enrich the United States. Living in the United States is a privilege. It's not a right. And I thank God every day I was born in the United States. I could have been born somewhere else, and so could you. But look, if you're, or you know, even the beautiful nation of Australia and the great country of the UK. Okay, you've got freedoms, or wherever you might be listening to this, where you've got the ability to listen to this. You've got freedoms. You need to cherish them and protect them. But you also have, aside from American exceptionalism, your countries are great too. So don't you apologize for UK exceptionalism or Australian exceptionalism. Just as I would not expect you to be subjugated to this globalist agenda. Does this make sense? Because whether it is the European Union and Brexit, remember how the globalists were attacking Brexit? Why do you think that is? Because under the globalist system, it's everybody's equal. Look at what's happened in Sweden. The no-go zones. Do you think for one moment that the Muslim invasion in Sweden and other Western countries? Do you think for one second that's working out well? Or it's being overstated and overhyped by the media, by the conservatives within the countries? No, of course not. They're coming in raping and pillaging and plundering, and the media is pretending it doesn't exist, or if you talk about it, you're a liar. Or worse, you're a racist, bigot, xenophobe. So, I can't believe how quickly this time goes. So to back up here, I took that side journey with respect to immigration, which was spawned by, of course, the remark by Donald Trump saying, you know, the S-hole country's remark, which was of yesterday. To give you some background and how this fits in, the unfettered mass invasion into the United States by unlike cultures, by the failure or refusal to assimilate, that is a method of destruction of our country. And I hope that makes sense, because when you're looking at those who are assailing President Donald Trump, using whatever means, using the independent or special counsel, Mueller, to assail Donald Trump and create the false narrative through active measures, or whether you're looking at another way of assailing and destroying our country, that is through this invasion, not immigration, the end result is the same. You've got Alinsky tactics, you've got active measures. You've got immigration or invasion, and you've got the other part of it. You've got the creating distrust. And they've done a great job of doing that. So all of these are components of the tools weaponized by the globalists to be used against us. And notice one last thing. You notice the change in language. What you can and can't say. Remember, blacks were once Negroes, and then blacks, and then African Americans. I say that to note the evolution of our language. Oh, try to call someone a Negro or type in on a police report Negro anymore. Whoa, ain't gonna happen. But the language has been changed. And by the way, I'm not endorsing that. I'm just noting history. But see, they're weaponizing our language too. And now if I had more time, I could bring in the homosexual agenda. Remember how notice how they changed homosexual to gay? All right, gay has nothing, you get the idea. I could go example by example by example, but you get the idea. And so in total, to draw the lens out, we are in a fight for our country. The actors, the suspects, the criminals are the globalists who are attempting to destroy our country by various means. And of course, all you have to do is look at Hillary and Bill Clinton. Look at this global initiative. Look at their globalism. And look at what would have been but was stopped by Donald Trump. And now all hell is breaking loose. Why? Because we can't have that. We were planning on getting this done, and this reality TV star, this ignoramus by the name of Donald Trump, comes on and ruins everything. That's where we're at in the larger sense, and I hope that makes sense to you. Look, we are going to fight on, and I mean fight on. I'm ready. Are you? In the coming days, in the coming weeks, you're going to see news break about FISA allegations of the weaponization of the FISA like you've never seen before. Watch that. It's coming, folks. Until next time, God bless.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.